السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And welcome to the mothers of the believers. And you know, these days we're talking about Juwayriyah bint al-Harith رضي الله عنها. We started that the last episode, and we stopped where we were mentioning how Juwayriyah رضي الله عنها came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, I was given to Thabit ibn Qais and I have asked for al-mukataba and I need help with the amount. And we said the Prophet ﷺ is going to make her an offer with which she will become the mother of the believers right after when we begin, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين. أما بعد. So we're talking about Juwayriyah bint al-Harith رضي الله عنها. We said she was given after the battle to Thabit ibn Qais. She asked for al-mukataba, which means that if she has the amount, he has to let her buy her freedom. He cannot refuse it. This was a way in which the Islam like had allowed many avenues through which someone could gain their freedom, so to end slavery and limited the ways through which you could become a slave. And so the Prophet ﷺ then says, or the narration is that Juwayriyah came to the place of the Prophet ﷺ to ask for help with paying the amount. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the minute I saw her, I was afraid that the Prophet ﷺ would want to marry her because she was very beautiful and she was the daughter of the leader of the tribe. And we know the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes the marriages had a da'wah benefit in them when he would marry the leader of the daughters of a tribe. So perhaps then Aisha radiallahu anha felt that that might happen. So then she says, I have come to ask for your help, meaning in paying the amount. So then the Prophet ﷺ tells her, would you like something better than that? And then he said, I will discharge your debt and marry you. So then she said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. She agreed, and the Prophet ﷺ told her, then it is done. And so then the Prophet ﷺ, when he went back to Al-Madinah after the raid on Bani al-Mustalaq, with Juwayriyah, and when they were at a place called Datul Jaysh, he entrusted her to one of the Ansar. Now here, there's another narration that her father, Al-Harith, he discovered that she had been taken captive, because we said he fled at the end of the battle. So when he discovered that his daughter was taken captive, he went back to Al-Madinah, and basically he brought with him some camels to pay them as a ransom for his daughter. So when he reached a place called Al-Aqiq, which is a place near Al-Madinah, he looked at the camels that he had bought or brought with him as her ransom, and he liked two of them. Two camels, they really, you know, they stood out, and he's like, these two camels are very, very nice. So he hid them. So he said, okay, let's suppose he took 20 camels, okay? So he liked two camels, so he hid them somewhere in one of the passes of Al-Aqiq, and he took with him the rest, the other 18, let's say. So then he came to the Prophet ﷺ with all the camels behind him, and he tells the Prophet ﷺ, he says, my daughter is too noble to be taken as a captive. So then set her free with this ransom. So he's saying, I'll give you these camels and you let my daughter go free. So then the Prophet ﷺ replied, isn't it better that we let her choose for herself? And of course, you know, if she chooses, then there's no amount of money involved anyways. So then her father said, that's fair. Why would he refuse? I mean, if she says, I'll go back with my father, which he would expect her to do, he doesn't have to pay anything, so that's even a better deal. So then he came to his daughter, and they said, he tells her, this man is letting you choose, so do not dishonor us. He's telling her, make the right choice. So she says, I choose the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She replied immediately. So then her father said, you know, this, he said it was a bad decision, kind of disgraceful. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells him, where are the two camels which you have hidden in Al-Aqiq in such and such a pass? So the Prophet ﷺ tells him exactly where he hid the two camels. So then Al-Harith was surprised by this, and he immediately became Muslim. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that you, Muhammad, are the Messenger of Allah. For no one, because nobody could have known this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody could have known that I hid these two camels that I liked except Allah. No one saw this, no one heard it. So then he and his two sons who were with him became Muslim, and some of the men who were with him that he brought along with him also accepted Islam. All this just from the excellent treatment, from the gentle way of the Prophet ﷺ, and from the excellent decision of his daughter Juwayriya radiallahu anha. So the Prophet ﷺ then asked him again after, this is a narration that we wanted to mention basically, the narration of her father. Because you might be reading after this and you might say, well, this narration wasn't mentioned. Sometimes there'll be many different narrations and sometimes they'll all have similarities. So what we'll try to do for the purpose of the program is sometimes give a blend or a mixture of all the different narrations. So then the Prophet ﷺ asked him again, according to this narration, after he became a Muslim, for his daughter's hand, and the man accepted radhiyallahu anhu. So then the Prophet ﷺ gave his new bride the dowry, which is 400 dirhams, which is what the Prophet ﷺ has been given almost all his wives. And then in the same event, that's where he renamed her to Juwayriya radhiyallahu anha. And of course, this event, I know, she became, by this, one of the mothers of the believers. And she accepted Islam, she saved herself from the hellfire, but also by accepting the Prophet ﷺ as her husband became Umm al-Mu'mineen. And she, because she liked the treatment of the Muslims, that's one. Why did she accept Islam so quickly? She liked how the Muslims treated her. Second thing, she had seen a vision just 3 days before the battle. And what is this vision? I think you all know it now. She saw the moon coming out of Medina, out of Yathrib, and coming to her. So she understood that this would mean she probably would marry the Prophet ﷺ, but she didn't say this to anyone. That's why she was so quick to accept when the Prophet ﷺ came. And that's why, you know, we saw this before and we're going to see this vision again recurring. So the Prophet ﷺ, why did the Prophet ﷺ marry her? Because you see, the Prophet ﷺ wanted a way to free her people. And he wanted to free them without them being enemies and coming back to retaliate again and so on and so forth. This is her tribe of Bani Mustalaq. So when the Prophet ﷺ married her, the news that he of their marriage spread out and spread amongst the Muslims. And now Bani Mustalaq, they were just freshly captured. They were all captives. Now they became the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ by marriage. So the Muslims found it very hard to keep them as their captives. I mean, imagine you're keeping the uncle of the wife of the Prophet ﷺ as your captive, or you know, her cousin as your captive. So the Muslims then, they set them free. In large numbers they set them free. This was something that was unheard of for the Arabs, that an entire tribe would be captured. And just within moments or of days or almost, immediately the whole tribe is let go, not asking for a ransom, not asking for money, not asking for anything. So when they set them free in large numbers, this affected a lot of the people from Bani Mustalaq, and a lot of them actually entered into Islam. And so it was said that as soon as, and then all the spoils that were taken from them were given back. Again, something unheard of for the Arabs, that you would take the spoils from people and then you would give it back to them almost immediately. So all this good treatment made the captives more interested in Islam, and they became Muslim. It said 100 families were released from captivity just because of this marriage. And Aisha radiallahu anha, because of this, she used to say, I do not know a woman who was a greater blessing to her people than she, meaning than Juwayriya. No woman was a greater blessing to her people because so many of her people became Muslim and so many of them became free because of her. So when we come back, this is the end of the segment. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking about Juwayriya radiallahu anha. So make sure you don't go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, welcome back to the show. We're talking about Juwayriya bint al-Harith radiallahu anha. And before the break, what had happened was that her entire tribe, Banu al-Mustalaq, was captured by the Muslims, and she was given to Thabit ibn Qais. And then she came and asked for the mukataba, which is basically she's buying her freedom. And Thabit radiallahu anhu gave her an amount which she didn't have. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ to ask for help with the amount. Now Aisha radiallahu anha said when she saw her, she said everyone, this is the description from Aisha, she said everyone who saw her was taken by her beauty, very beautiful. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she asked for his help. She said, I'm the daughter of this leader and this is what has happened to me. So I need help with this amount. So then the Prophet ﷺ told her that he made her another offer that she would marry him and he would pay the amount. The interesting part is that the Prophet ﷺ still paid Thabit the amount, because this was something, this was his right to get the amount. So he didn't just take, even though he was the leader, he could have done it. And Thabit radiallahu anhu, a righteous Sahabi, never would have objected. He would have been more than pleased. But the Prophet ﷺ gave him the amount. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was a fair and just leader. So she asked for the amount. The Prophet ﷺ then, she agreed to marry the Prophet ﷺ. We said part of that was that she had seen this vision that we've spoken about many times, that the moon had come out of Medina and come to her. So she knew this was like 3 days before the battle. So she knew she was going to marry the Prophet ﷺ. The amount is given to Thabit. She marries the Prophet ﷺ. We also mentioned the narration with her father. So that's why then we have the quote that we mentioned from Aisha, where she says, I do not know of a woman who was a greater blessing to her people than she, meaning than Juwayriyah. She was a blessing to her people because so many of them accepted Islam after she was married to the Prophet ﷺ and after they were set free. So she was a blessing to them because so many of them came into Islam because of her and because all of them were freed because of her. That's why she was such a blessing to them. So Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, she accepted Islam and she followed in the example of all the mothers of the believers. She was a devout worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she would make a lot of dua. One of the great benefits we have from her was that one time the Prophet ﷺ left her room for Fajr, and he came back after Duha, like after what they call forenoon. And she tells him, I spent all the time that you were absent making dua, not making dua, but making dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning Allah's name. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ left, she was in a position sitting and mentioning Allah's name. He came back later on, maybe about noon or so, and he found her still mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, non-stop all this time. So then the Prophet ﷺ told her, were you sitting like this all the time? She said, yes. So then the Prophet ﷺ tells her, and this is a great, great dua and a great benefit that comes from through this great work of Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ tells her, should I tell you a few words? If you say them, they will be heavier on your scale, meaning on the Day of Judgment, than what you have done. Meaning, these few words, they're going to be not equal to, but heavier than all these hours of non-stop dhikr that you've been making. All these hours. Then the Prophet teaches her this dua, and he teaches all of us after her, where to say, Subhanallah adada khalqih, Subhanallah rida nafsih, Subhanallah zinata arshih, Subhanallah midada kalimatih. Very, very simple dua, just a few short sentences, and it's equal to hours upon hours of making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One more time, and it's really when you hear something like this, your main goal should be that I can't let such great reward pass by. You should never let a single morning pass by without saying this dua, because it is equal to so much, yet it will only probably take you less than 30 seconds to say the entire dua. 30 seconds in every morning and you get such great reward for saying it. So the dua one more time, Subhanallah adada khalqih, Subhanallah rida nafsih, Subhanallah zinata arshih, Subhanallah midada kalimatih. And in case you didn't have time to write it or anything like that, you can find it in the book The Fortification of the Muslim, or any other dua book is bound to have this dua inshallah. And generally what the dua means and what it's saying, Subhanallah, which means really that Allah is exalted or far removed from any imperfection, that He's perfect. So it's like saying, how perfect is Allah? As many times as the number of His creatures. So that's magnificent numbers. Subhanallah, as much as what pleases Him. Subhanallah, as much as the weight of His throne. See, every one of these three things is great. And subhanAllah, as much as the ink of his for his words. So, great dua and great weight on the day of judgment equal to hours of non-stop remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this hadith or this dua is mentioned in the book of At-Tirmidhi in Sahih At-Tirmidhi. So, inshallah, make sure you say it every morning and not miss on this great dua. Now, Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, she spent her life in seclusion. She never left her home except to perform Hajj. It is said that she performed Hajj a number of times. And as usual, the Khulafa would try to take great care of the mothers of the believers. They would provide for them like a salary, or they would give them a certain amount every time. And the Khulafa, of course, they would also spend on her and give her this amount. But she would spend it and give it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we said, it is said that she performed Hajj a number of times, and she was known for her excellent worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that he would only marry women who were deserving of paradise. So every one of the mothers of the believers that we mentioned, they were deserving of paradise, they were better worshippers than everyone else, they were excellent examples and very religious women. And Juwayriyah radiallahu anha was not any less of an excellent worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because, as we mentioned in the verses when we mentioned Aisha radiallahu anha,
وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ,
the good women are for the good men, and the wicked women are for the wicked men. And so any woman who marries the Prophet ﷺ, no doubt then she is an excellent woman, because the good women are for the good men. So this was like how Juwayriyah radiallahu anha was in her worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in her patience in being a worshipper of Allah azza wa jal. Now we want to move on to some of the hadith that she had transmitted, or some of the hadith that she had passed on. She narrated basically seven ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Four of these ahadith are mentioned in the six books of hadith. One is mentioned in the book of Bukhari, and two in the book of Muslim. When we say the six books of hadith, we mean Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, and Nasa'i, and so on, the six books of hadith. So one of them being mentioned in the book of Bukhari, two are mentioned in the book of Muslim, but generally four of them are in the six books of hadith. But she did, as we say, narrate a total of seven hadith. And a lot of her narrations are about fasting, about not fasting on a Friday. One of the hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Amr narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited Juwayriyah radiallahu anha on a Friday, and he found her to be fasting. So he asked her, "Did you fast yesterday?" And she said, "No." He said, "Do you intend on fasting tomorrow?" She said, "No." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her, "So break your fast," meaning do not single out Friday as a day to fast. So if you fast like 3 days, one of them is a Friday, it's fine. But he teaches her to not fast Friday, single it out and fast it by itself. Either you fast it a day before it or a day after it, or if it comes in the middle of a rhythm or a system, like you fast every other day, which means 1 week you'll fast to Friday, the next week you won't fast to Friday. Now, and of course some scholars said that, you know, you don't fast to Friday at all, but the other group said no, if you have a rhythm like you fast every other day, then it doesn't matter if you fast the Friday. So we've come to the end of this section. Inshallah, when we return, we're going to continue a little bit about Juwayriyah and the hadith we got from her. And then we're going to start talking about Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So that, don't go anywhere, we'll come right back.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not? He can handle it.
Everybody's
got experience.
You didn't have to.
Man, you don't look so good.
Man, I feel good.
Yeah. Hey, is he okay?
Hey, what's wrong?
Hey, we better pull over.
What's going on back there?
He's not breathing.
Pull over, pull over!
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back to the show. Before the break, we were talking about Juwayriyah radiallahu anha and her contribution to knowledge and to hadith. So she actually narrated 7 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 4 of these hadith are mentioned in the 6 books of hadith, like the book of Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, and so on. So 4 of them are mentioned in the 6 books. 1 is mentioned in the book of Bukhari, and 2 of these hadith are mentioned in the book of Muslim. And her narrations, basically, they contain a hadith about fasting, about how you're not preferred to fast on Friday and single it out by itself. This is narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, or Abdullah ibn Abbas, afwan, where he says that the Prophet ﷺ came upon Juwayriyah, radiallahu anha, on a Friday and he found her to be fasting. So he asked her, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He said, are you going to fast tomorrow? And she said, no. And so then the Prophet ﷺ told her to break her fast. Meaning, in this hadith we learn, and we all probably know this, that you don't single out Friday by itself for fasting, but probably a few of us linked it to Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, but it was an incident that happened to her, and because of her we know that you don't fast on Fridays, or you single out Friday by itself for fasting. Now, her other hadith are related to supplications or the rewards of making dhikr, mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about zakah, and about freeing slaves, which makes sense because she had bought her own freedom as well after the battle. And so we see this, all these benefits that come from Juwayriyah, from the hadith that she narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she lived after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his life, he was very pleased and satisfied with her. And then after his death, she lived until the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Now, just before I forget, there was something that I mentioned in the beginning of this episode about her name. Her name was Barra, which meant good. And the Prophet ﷺ, as I said, but I didn't explain, that Prophet ﷺ changed her name from Barra to Juwayriyah. Because the Prophet ﷺ, and this is what the historians and scholars explain, that the Prophet ﷺ didn't want them to be able to say, or people to say, the sentence when he leaves her house, they will say, Kharaja min Barra, meaning he left Barra. Literally it means he left her house, but it also means that he left good, or he moved away from good. So it's as if he moved away from good to something bad, and it was just not proper. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't want people to say kharaja min barra, that he left good or he went away from good. So he changed her name to Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. And we see also a lot of some other mothers of the believers, their name was Juwayriyah, and other people were their names were Barra, and then the Prophet ﷺ changed their name as well, such as the case with Maymuna, when we discuss her later on, inshaAllah. So, Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, she died in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal in the year 50 after the Hijrah. And she was buried in the cemetery of Al-Baqi', and Marwan ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu, he prayed or led the prayer over her. And Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, all in all, she was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 6 years. And she lived for another 39 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dying at the year of 50 after the Hijrah, and she was 65 years old, radiallahu anha. And so in the next episode, inshallah, we're going to begin by talking about Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anha. But before we kind of give an introduction to Habiba, radiallahu anha, we want to talk about Zainab bint Khuzaima, also the mother of the believers. But there's very, very little known about her. Literally, you will sometimes open a book about the mothers of the believers and there'll be just a short paragraph about her. Sometimes like 6 sentences about her. And some books just have a little bit more than that. What we know about her, her name was Zainab bint Khuzaima radiallahu anha. She was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan in the 4th year after the Hijrah. And this was like very soon after his marriage to Hafsa radiallahu anha. So she was the 5th in order in marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're only mentioning her later here because we have room now to mention Zainab bint Khuzaim radiallahu anha. So she was married after Hafsa, so she was 5th in order when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 56 years old and she was 30 years old. So she was another of the wives that was in her 30s or yani middle aged. Now, after she had, she of course, as with all the other wives, her husband was martyred at the Battle of Badr. There's also some disagreement upon who her husband was, but the point is that she was widowed after her husband died at the Battle of Badr, and then she offered herself in marriage to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted her proposal and he married her. Now, what we do know about her is that she was extremely, extremely generous to the poor and to the orphans, so much so that she became known as Ummul Masakin, the mother of the poor. And she died only 8 months after marrying the Prophet ﷺ. Some narrations even tell you she died 2 months after marrying the Prophet ﷺ, or 3 months after marrying the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why there's so little about her in the books of history, because she died 2, 3, or possibly 8 months after being wed to the Prophet ﷺ. And so, and she was, like I said, called the mother of the believers, and all of the sources agree that they describe her as being very kind and generous, and very generous to the poor and to the needy. Before Islam, in Jahiliyyah times, and during Islam, still very generous. And like I said, very little is written about her. And she is the sister of Umm al-Fadl and Maymuna radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers. So she was the half-sister of Maymuna and Umm al-Fadl, because they were from the same mother, but they had different fathers. And she embraced Islam very early and married Abdullah ibn Jahsh and migrated with him. This is Abdullah ibn Jahsh, the husband of Zainab ibn bint Jahsh, the mother of the believers. So this is according to some narrations that she was married to Abdullah ibn Jahsh, and then she migrated with him to Abyssinia, and then he died during the Battle of Badr. And so with that, then we've come towards the end of talking about Zainab bint Khuzaymah radiallahu anha. And in the next episode, inshallah, we're going to start by speaking about Habiba, who is her name was Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan Sakhr ibn Harb, who was now the number one enemy of Islam, because a lot of the leaders of the Muslim, the Quraysh had died in Badr. So now Abu Sufyan is the main leader now against the Muslims, and the Prophet ﷺ will marry his daughter as well. So this will be, inshallah, an interesting episode. Join us next time when we talk about Habiba radiallahu anha. So with that, thank you for being an attentive audience. Wa sallallahu wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.